Lord, we give you thanks and praise as we celebrate the solemnity of the Epiphany, a wonderful reminder that we're all seeking the truth. And so help us in this new year to be open to new ways to grow in our faith, but most importantly, to share with others so they can find their way to the Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Good morning. So I said at the beginning of Mass that the Epiphany is a wonderful reminder that promise that, or the words that St. Paul shared with St. Timothy in his epistle, that God desires that all people come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And so just a few points I'd like to make about the Epiphany and our own journey of faith today. The Magi remind us that in the human heart, in every human heart, God has placed a desire to know and seek God in their lives. And in the old days, you know, the culture was more Christian in nature, and so celebrations would happen where the whole town would get together and do things. I know in Mexico they still have the custom of Rosca de Reyes. I saw it yesterday in SARS when I was in there, where they bake the bread, and if you cut into the little baby Jesus, you have to throw a party on the presentation of the Lord. So there's cultural things that kind of can support the faith. But I must admit, when I did my second immersion trip to Mexico for almost 3 months, I had just always thought that Mexico was a very Catholic country, and everything is just, you know, imbued with faith, and people all go to church and everything, and I was rather naive. There's a lot of, the men didn't come to church, the priest started yelling at them, "Well, this isn't just a woman's church, where are your husbands?" I'm like, "Dude, why are you yelling at them? I'm sure they want their husbands to be sitting next to them," but he just was yelling at them. And there was a lot of occult things too, and a lot of confusion and stuff. So, you know, it makes you think too that sometimes things become familiar and you can take them for granted and you're just surrounded by it, but you don't really have that passion and that zeal in your heart. And these people left their own country. And we know when you go on a journey or a pilgrimage, you know, there are a lot of unexpected things that can happen to you, but they were seeking the truth. And so it's a great reminder that all of us need to seek the truth with a sincere heart, and maybe this year to be praying for the Holy Spirit to help us grow in our faith in new ways. You know, I mentioned form at the beginning of the Mass during the announcements, but maybe find a program and watch it so you can grow in your faith. I told the Hispanics, I said, you know, sometimes in the last 25 years as a priest, I find that my Protestant brothers and sisters show more enthusiasm and zeal for their faith and wanting to share with others than my own Catholic brothers and sisters, and I don't know if you've ever found that to be true. So there's always room for growth in our lives, and Lord, make me more passionate and help me to not get comfortable, but to be growing and becoming the most loving person you created me to be, and to be ready at all times to give an account for the hope inside of me to other people, because they're seeking. And sometimes we forget that, or we just kind of, they're never going to come to faith, I don't need to do anything, they're never going to get it. That's not the attitude a believer should have. It should always, what can I do to be helpful for you, to lead you to the Lord, and to experience the joy of a relationship with Him. The second thing is that we're going to have obstacles, and so Herod was kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was not sincere at all and actually wanted to destroy the child. So the Lord, you know, told us very clearly that when you're in the world, you will have difficulties, but take courage, I've overcome the world. And I was just thinking in light of that, when I was in the seminary, how different that environment was in the 4 years in college. The 4 years in college, we were really of one mind and one heart. Very few fights or divisions. We'd always spend half an hour before our meetings in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying for each other. It was just an amazing environment. And then I went into the seminary. Are you liberal or conservative? And just on and all the divisions. And then you get to be a priest, and then it's the politics in the church, the chancery, different things, territorialism. There's going to be obstacles, so we always need to be praying and discerning. But we see in this situation today that God provided through a dream that they should not go back to Herod. And so remember the prophecy in Joel that's stated in the second chapter of Acts. In the last days, I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all my children. You'll have dreams and visions. That God will provide a way for us, sometimes in the most unique ways, to help us stay on track in our faith. And I'm sure this year is going to bring about certain challenges. You know, we just went through the whole COVID thing for 2 years. That was really challenging. But we know that the Lord's going to provide for us if we open our hearts. But sometimes He does it in the most unique and strange ways. He's the strangest people. And you think one way that God is going to take care of me this way, and it's not working. And so, okay, Lord, maybe there's something else You're going to show me. And then He shows you or does it for you. So we're going to have difficulties, but God wants to help and support us. So we open our hearts to that discernment. And then lastly, the whole thing about the frankincense, myrrh, and gold. You know, one of the most important things for us as Catholics is our worship. how we worship reflects what we believe. And so our worship needs to be dynamic. And one year I was listening to Pope Benedict the 16th, and he gave a Wednesday audience, and he talked about this, about how our worship should cut people to the heart so they say God is truly in this place. And this is in the context of the last part of the first letter to the Corinthians, where Paul is talking about if an unbeliever comes into church. He says the following: "This is our definition. We belong among those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we clearly understand how desirable it is that what Paul himself was hoping for when he wrote to the Corinthians should come to pass." And this is the part of that letter: "If an unbeliever or an uninitiated enters while all are uttering prophecy, he will be taken to task by all and called to account by all, and the secret of his heart will be laid bare. Falling prostrate, he will worship God, crying out, 'God is truly among you.'" Our liturgical encounters should be like this. A non-Christian who enters one of our assemblies ought finally to be able to say, "God is truly with you." Let us pray to the Lord to be like this, in communion with Christ and in communion among ourselves. All of our liturgy should be like that. If somebody came in here, has never been to a Mass before, they see us so passionately engaged in the liturgy, worshiping the Lord, focused on Him, that they fall to their knees and say, "Wow, God is in this place. You guys are encountering the living God right now during this Mass." Are our liturgies like that? It's just a question, but let's pray that they be like that. Amen? That we fully engage and understand the importance of Mass and worshiping God. That is a central tenet of Christianity. Christian worship is to give thanks. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so we come to the Mass to give thanks to the Lord. I always joke about Psalm 116. How can I ever repay the Lord for all the good He's done for me? You can't. But you can come to Mass excited, open, and experience the beauty of encountering the risen Lord and leave fully charged for your week of service to Him and His kingdom. Amen?